Well, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And my special guest host is the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And we'll see how he's doing in a minute. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
When people think about the military, they often think about service members deployed overseas. What is unique about the National Guard is their additional roles. During Super Bowl 52, more than 450 soldiers and airmen supported security operations and law enforcement agencies. In 2017, more than 110 Minnesota soldiers and airmen were activated for hurricane relief efforts in Texas, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In June of 2017, the Minnesota National Guard supported the Minnesota State Patrol on locating three missing paddlers in the Boundary Waters canoe area. Also, in December of 2017, we opened our armories to several communities to shelter Minnesotans during extreme cold weather. With a force of more than 13,000 strong, we are proud to serve the great state of Minnesota and our nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Larry Herkey was appointed as the 18th Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs in January 2019. As Commissioner, Herkey is charged with assisting Minnesota veterans and their families. He also represents the department at hearings before the Minnesota Legislature and the United States Congress and maintains close working relationships with veteran service organizations in Minnesota. Commissioner Herkey, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, it's great to be with you here at the fair. It's just a wonderful day.
Sir, we started out here this morning. There was a big ceremony over in at the Liney Lodge, and we had the governor over there, and Amy Klobuchar was there,
yes.
And the Adjutant General
yes,
was there.
Yes, Adjutant General, General Mankey.
And we had a little flyover, a couple of C-130s.
Flag raising.
Flag raising.
Yeah.
And Commissioner, I think some of the folks probably don't know, you spent 30 years in the military.
It did. I got a chance to spend about 4 years on active duty, followed by about 26 years in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
So all
the Red Bulls.
The Red Bulls and the Red Bull Band was there this morning, too.
Yes,
that was
they
fun.
Were.
So this is like old home week
this
for you.
This is it, yes.
Everybody out here and all the veterans were surrounded by a lot of these veteran service organizations that help the families and take care of the veterans that you're charged with taking care
That's
of here in
correct.
Minnesota.
It's a big team. We all work together, Tom, to get things done for the veterans.
Well, Commissioner, I know you've been busy because one of your favorite things is happening. The federal government and the Minnesota legislature came together to fund three new veterans' homes in the state of Minnesota, and you had some groundbreakings.
Tom, this is historic. I don't know of another state that's actually had three groundbreakings within a month for new veterans' homes. It'll be a total of about 200 places for our veterans to be in greater Minnesota. It's just a wonderful time to spend do the groundbreakings and get these projects going.
And which cities were lucky enough to get the new homes?
Well, we started out the first groundbreaking with the governor in Preston. We did the second one with Senator Klobuchar in Montevideo, and the last one was again with Senator Klobuchar up north, up in Bemidji.
Now, Commissioner, your department's charged with taking care of the existing veterans' homes and a special one down in Hastings. And then, of course, now you're building these new homes. Are there a lot of veterans on the waiting list trying to get in?
There are quite a few. We haven't been able to do as many admissions during COVID, so we do have a waiting list. Depending on the location, it could be a couple months. And the Minneapolis home is probably the longest at just under 2 years for a waiting list.
And one of the things we're trying to do with the veterans' homes is to keep the veterans as close to their family as possible so they can come visit.
We try to do that both with the homes and the cemeteries also. About 2 hours or less is what we'd like, and this really helps us out having these three new homes in greater Minnesota. We'll put the families much closer to their veterans in these new homes.
And Commissioner, I saw some postings on Facebook, you and the governor out there at those groundbreakings, and the mock-ups, the drawings of those veterans homes, they're pretty fancy buildings.
Yeah, the biggest question I get asked, Tom, is it going to have an individual bathroom for each veteran? And I can assure all the veterans that they'll have their own bathroom and their own room in these new homes. So it's going to be great and really state-of-the-art for our veterans in Minnesota.
We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day for Minnesota Military Radio. And, Commissioner, the last position that you had for a few years when you were in the Minnesota National Guard was in charge of all the armories, and there was always remodeling projects and building projects, and I think we talked at one time about a 30-year plan.
I think it was a 35-year plan, actually, Tom. We had over 60 armories throughout the state that we were responsible for, plus some maintenance shops and, of course, Camp Ripley and a lot of real estate. And we did have a great plan. I think they're doing well in executing that plan today. So, well,
Commissioner, it seems to me that all that training you did in the Minnesota Army National Guard really set you up to be the commissioner. And especially today, you got three buildings under construction.
Three buildings and soon to be a state cemetery also in Redwood County, which will do the groundbreaking on October 15th. So it's a lot going on for Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs.
But you're an old head at this year.
No problem here. We're staying on top of everything.
Now, are the veterans in those communities pretty excited?
Pretty excited to be understatement. I would say very enthusiastic. Have been waiting. Some of them have been waiting 12 to 15 years for this opportunity to get a home to their communities, and they've been very supportive of our efforts. And contributed the land and other things to the private monies that came to this project. So it's been a great teamwork working together with those communities.
A lot of time and effort came together. And what's it going to be, about a two-year process to get them built?
We're going to look at 2023, and we're hoping it's going to be midsummer for the actual ribbon-cutting ceremonies at those locations. So we're watching each of them. Seeing, but I think midsummer 2023.
Well, Commissioner, we'll have to see if we can't come out and broadcast from one of those new homes.
I think it would be good, yes.
Welcome them into your...
We should do that.
We'll do it, sir.
Yeah.
You mentioned the veteran cemeteries. Here in Minnesota, we have Fort Snelling, of course. That's a federal cemetery. Mm-hmm. And when we started doing the radio show, we had the state cemetery up at Little Falls, right outside
Correct.
The gates of Camp Ripley. Since then, you've opened up some new cemeteries, and part of the idea there is to get the state cemeteries spread across the state so once again families can go visit.
That's right. We want to be within the federal VA would like them to be within 70 miles of all the veterans. So they've allowed us to have three additional new cemeteries in Minnesota. We've opened Preston, which is an award-winning cemetery. It's actually won national recognition.
That's down towards Rochester.
Down towards Rochester. And then up on the Arrowhead, we have just west of Duluth. Mm-hmm. So we've opened that cemetery. That's sort of like the cemetery in the woods. And now we have the Redwood County Cemetery, which was just outside of Redwood Falls on Highway 71. And that's got a nice creek and just a wonderful 60-some acres that was donated by the county for the use of a state cemetery. So looking forward to working on that. We're just finishing design and getting a bid right now.
So pretty quick, you're going to have
groundbreaking in October.
And you've got a man that knows how to do this.
We got the other two. yes. Dave Swantek is.
We've had him on the show, and he knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
Commissioner, I want you to. I heard a rumor. I haven't been to Preston, but somebody was telling me that it reminds them of Arlington Cemetery because it's rolling hills and it's just beautiful down there.
It is. They did just recently the federal VA. I think it was about a little over a year ago. Came out and evaluated their operations, and they said usually the cemetery does well on either the sort of the paperwork side, or they do it well out in the, you know, in the cemetery itself. But this is a one rare example of a cemetery that's doing both things well. I'm just so proud of the way it is. It's just a beautiful place.
And Commissioner, I heard that there were a couple of dignitaries down there, a couple of former mayors that just couldn't wait for the cemetery, but they gave instructions that they passed. But they were to be moved into that cemetery as soon as it's ready.
I didn't even know that.
That's part of the lore.
Oh, okay. Yes, I know we've had a lot of people that have come from other cemeteries to our location, and we continue to have that throughout all the state cemeteries in Minnesota.
Commissioner, you're going to stay with me for the rest of the show.
I am.
That's good. Next up, we're going to have Amy Navarstad from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center. We're going to talk to her, and then we're going to have the sponsors of this Military Appreciation Day at State Fair. USAA is going to join us.
Well, I look forward to that.
And we can thank those guys and find out what they're doing and why, and they've been with us for a lot of years.
Yes.
And then we're going to come back later and talk about a special event coming up on September
11th
at State Capitol.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk to our friend from the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Wonderful.
So a lot coming up. Please stay with us. We're speaking with Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, my co-host for this show today is Larry Herkey, who's Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we've got a special guest with us today, and her name is Amy Navrastad, and she's from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. Amy, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you for having me so much.
Well, thanks for coming out to visit us at the fair, and we've got a few people in the audience, and but we want to talk about something that's really special. I understand that, first, let's say, how long have you been at the VA?
Yeah, it's 15 years this September.
Well, congratulations.
That I've worked at the Minneapolis VA. Yeah, thank you.
Do you enjoy working with our veterans out there?
I'll never do anything else. It's an honor.
Oh, mm-hmm. Commissioner, yep. we must have been behaving out there.
Yes.
This is good. Well, Amy, I know you've had a number of positions. You were in some mental health programs and some crisis intervention training. Mm-hmm. And now you're involved in what I understand is called, what is the post-9/11 military to VA case management program? Mm-hmm. That's a big mouthful. Can you tell us in English? What's that mean?
It is. Just like the military, the VA is full of acronyms. So the post-9/11 military to VA program really focuses on active duty service members and those newly separated from active duty service. So we really focus on connecting them in care. Getting them connected to the services that they need, even enrolling them in VA healthcare. We will take them from that active duty status all the way to the veteran status.
Amy, go ahead, Commissioner.
Amy, could you tell us how you're outreaching to the young veterans or recently returning?
Yeah, so we do a lot of different things to really focus primarily on those younger generation veterans. We go to active duty units at Fort Snelling and other active duty installations. We attend a lot of drill weekends and provide individual service to the service members there as well as the units as a whole. We do a lot of outreach work with our stand downs with MACV. They're really great partners to work with. We do a lot online as well, and I'll talk more about this later, but a lot of the things we've done VA-wide have really become innovative over the past several years. That's really exciting.
So, Amy, is one of your challenges to try to get the military, when they're transitioning from military to civilian, to let them know that you're there and mm-hmm. the things that you can help with?
It's really important to be proactive with things like this rather than reactive, right? So when you feel more prepared as an active duty service member, it's easier and less intimidating or overwhelming to get that care and engage after the fact. You don't know what you don't know. So it's really important for us as a healthcare system to educate those service members before they get out so they know what to do ahead of time.
I hear all the time, Amy, that veterans tell me they don't need it. It's meant for somebody else that's mm-hmm. worse off than I am. What would you say to a veteran that says that to you?
You don't know what you don't know, and nobody can predict the future. So you don't know in 10, 20, or 30 years from now how you'll be feeling or what your needs are going to be. We all struggle with things, both physical and mental. We all have challenges and needs. We're human beings, and that's part of the human experience. So you need to engage ahead of time. You need to get connected. It's much easier to call me or one of your other providers when you're in a crisis because you know me. It's very hard to engage or go to an emergency department when you don't know what to expect and you don't know anybody there. It feels safer, and you're more comfortable when you know that person already.
Now, Amy, one of the deputy directors of your office, mm-hmm. sir, before you were the commissioner, came to me about 10 years ago and started asking me questions. I'm a Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. And they said, were you on the ground in Vietnam? I said, yes. Were you exposed to Agent Orange? I said, yes. Do you have type 2 diabetes? I said, yes. And do you have aches and pains? I said, of course.
Yep.
He said, well, the VA is here for you. Mm-hmm. And I told him, Commissioner, just like you just said a minute ago, I said, that's for the guys that lost arms and legs and really need some help. It's not for me. I've got health insurance. I don't need to do this. And he sat down and he filled out the form and we filed a claim on the spot. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad he did because I get all my care for my type 2 diabetes from the VA now. And we're lucky here in Minnesota. We've got one of the best VA medical centers in the country.
It's true. Mm-hmm. It's true.
So I'm sure there's a lot more veterans my age and younger that are mm-hmm. saying the same things I did. They leave that service for people that really need it. How do you answer that? How do you fight that?
I really challenge them to be brave with that. It's hard to ask for help, and I remind every single person that I talk with that we're human beings. you are not immune to any challenges or needing help at times. That's part of being a human. So you don't know when you might need support. You don't know when somebody else might need support. It is so important to stay healthy ahead of time before it gets to the point where you're in a crisis. So that means getting support for yourself as well as your family and your fellow veterans and service members. So educating them on everything that's available. I also try really hard to educate everybody on what's available. Mental health, physical health, all of that. I also try to give that to them, even if they don't want it. You don't know when you might need it in the future. I also encourage people, even if you don't feel like you need it right now, give it to somebody else that might need it. Give it to another veteran that you come across. You never know when that person might need some extra help.
Commissioner Larry Herkey and I are speaking with Amy Navarstad from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio, out at the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. And Commissioner, I want to come back to you. You spent 30 years in the service, and now you've been the commissioner for a couple of years. Our service people, our service members, men and women, and our veterans are proud. And they quite often don't want to step up and say, I need some help. How do you fight that?
That's very true. I see it all the time, and it's just one of those things where you get the message, like Amy said, that it's best to connect before you need the help. And you just need to know where to go for the assistance, whether it's something through my agency or something through the federal VA. And I would just say the best thing is to engage early and become part of the healthcare system, and they'll be there for you when you need them.
And Amy, in my day, we were exposed to Agent Orange, but then in the first Gulf War, it was all of the oil wells that were burning, and there were lung issues, and then there's the burn pits, and it seems like wherever we send our troops, there's some kind of issue that affects their health. Are they aware that you're there and these presumptives exist so that you can help them?
Yes. That's one of the things that we really try to focus on, too, because you can file those service-connected disability claims fairly early on. Mm-hmm. I think it's also always evolving and changing, too. Like you said, as time goes on, other things are periodically added. So I encourage people to call me or email me when they think they might qualify for something. We have such a great team of staff that we work with that are so willing to work with people individually, too, to educate them. It's great.
And, Commissioner, this is the part where your county veteran service officers come into play to help process those claims.
They're usually the first person or first contact for most veterans. It's easy to find because usually they're right there in the county seat in an office, and each county has them. So there's 87 of them throughout Minnesota, plus tribal veteran service officers also for the tribes.
So any issue that a service member had related to their medical condition when they were in, start with your county veteran service officer, get a hold of your office, and then go start working with the Minneapolis VA. They're there for you. They're ready to help you. They can help you, and it's worthwhile.
It's important to get locked in and be part of the group. There's plenty of support and available both at state and federal level.
Amy, you've got some great partners in Minnesota, all the county veteran service officers, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, all the veteran service organizations.
Yeah, it's so mutual. I was smiling when you were talking because I almost always refer people right away to their CVSOs. Mm-hmm. It's such a great starting off point. And then we can sort of take over on the back end, right? And I think it makes the process easier and less overwhelming when you've already met us and you know us and you're coming back to us, right? I think that's really good continuity of care for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, Amy, how can our communities all over Minnesota, how can they step up and help you to connect with these veterans?
Make it okay for veterans and service members to ask for help. So it's really hard to feel vulnerable like that, right? To ask for support, whether that's physical, but even more so mental support. And we all need support like that at times. So just make that okay. Be a safe person for veterans or service members to talk to about that, and then be knowledgeable of where to direct them next. So you can walk into our VA facility and get enrolled in VA healthcare. We are very happy to help you with that. I have my cards with my direct phone number and email as well as our teams. We welcome that and encourage that. It makes it a lot easier to engage in care.
So for all our veterans that are listening out there, even if they are not sure how to start, if they start with you, you'll get them to the County Veteran Service Officer. You'll get them to the MDVA. You'll get them to the Veteran Service Organizations, and we'll work together to take care of them.
Absolutely. It's a great team.
One last question, Amy. I can see your face. Our listeners can't. Do you like your job?
Very much. I'm very excited about it. I very much enjoy it.
Well, Amy, I'd like to thank you for taking time to come to see us at the State Fair. Commissioner. She's delightful.
Yes.
Don't you be stealing her from the VA now, Commissioner.
Great interview with Amy.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us. That was Amy Navarstet from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System. And, Commissioner, when we come back, we're going to meet with the USAA, who happened to be the sponsor of Military Appreciation Day here at the Minnesota State Fair.
Looking forward to it, Tom.
This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're recording from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day. My co-host for this show today has been Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. And Commissioner, we've got a Navy man joining us today, and he's from USAA. Please welcome Brad Sargent.
Hello, Brad Sargent. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. It's a great day to be here at the fair. My man, Mike Evans, called in this beautiful weather for us, you know, so it couldn't be any nicer. I understand it's been a little bit warm out here lately.
Well, it's been warm, and it was a dry summer. But recently it's been
all on the rain can.
Here comes the rain. You know, here we are at the Minnesota State Fair. Brad, I want to talk to you just a little bit. You were in the Navy?
I was.
Submarines?
I was. I had the honor of serving 22 years in the United States Navy. Enlisted in 1977 in the Fleet Ballistic Missile Program as a navigation electronics technician, and progressed through my career up to Master Chief Petty Officer, and then finally assigned as a Chief of the Boat on board the nuclear submarine USS Oklahoma City, SSN 723, Chief of the Boat being the senior enlisted advisor to the commanding officer of that submarine.
Now, Brad, I understand that the most of the ships and the boats, we refer to submarines as boats, are based on a certain model. And we were out at Norfolk a few years ago for the commissioning of the USS Minnesota. Is that a different...
Definitely. Those are Virginia-class submarines, our newest fast-attack nuclear submarines. My first submarine was the USS George Bancroft, which is a 640-class fleet ballistic missile submarine. And then my first fast-attack submarine was the USS Baltimore, which is a 688-class, Los Angeles-class fast-attack submarine.
And, of course, the new ones, like the USS Minnesota, is a $2 billion, with a B, $2 billion platform that can go anywhere in the world where there's water. And we talked to the Secretary of the Navy when we were out there, and Ray Mabus, and he told us we own the oceans.
We do.
We still do. That's good to hear.
Of course.
Of course. And Chief of the Boat, Commissioner, the top enlisted person on the
so
boat.
So tell us what the duties of Chief of the Boat. Hey, what do you do?
Advise the commanding officer on the health, welfare, and well-being of the crew of the submarine. In charge of the watch bill for the enlisted men and women. When I served, it was only men, but it's men and women now. Make sure that everyone's doing their jobs and qualified to do their jobs, and watch rotations, that the right people are coming and going, transferring in, transferring out. So overall well-being of the enlisted crew.
Very good. Commissioner, that sounds pretty much like a command sergeant major.
It sounds very close, yes.
A close relationship between the boss and the way you go. So, Brad, how did you get to USAA? I know, tell us first, USAA is a special firm. Your clients are all veterans.
USAA was founded nearly 100 years ago by a group of military officers who recognized the need to support the men who were serving to protect our freedoms. So they formed USAA, started out as just automobile insurance, but now it's an integrated financial services company that offers banking, insurance, and financial advice to over 13 million members. Those who have served, those who are currently serving, and the family members of those who have served and currently serving. And we have 36,000 employees globally to serve the military men and women and their families.
And, Brad, can you tell us, how did you come to start working for USAA?
Well, it was interesting. I was getting ready to be medically retired, unfortunately. At the 22-year point, they told me I couldn't be in the submarines anymore because I had vertigo. Which kind of bad thing to be so dizzy you can't stand up and drive a submarine.
It's a little problem in a submarine. Yeah, that doesn't work well.
So it was a time to transition. So I'd gone through some transition classes, and they told you to have a 30-second elevator speech. And I was in at USAA talking to my financial advisor, one of the many things that we do. And he said, Brad, what are you going to do when you get out, when you retire? I gave him my elevator speech, and he said, you know, there's a job here with your name on it. That was on a Friday afternoon. On Sunday afternoon, that job was posted in the local newspaper. On Monday, I had my resume in, and that was over 22 years ago. So even before I was stopped getting my active duty pay, I was on board at USAA as a military affairs representative. And now 22 years later, I'm a director for military affairs. I have a team of former military retired, many of them with 30-plus years of service, from Virginia up to Maine, over to Minnesota, doing events like this, family days, deployment events, trade shows. Anytime there's a chance to be out there and help our military men and women, their families, be better prepared for their financial futures.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with Brad Sargent, who's the Director of Military Affairs Field Operations North Region for USAA, along with my co-host, Commissioner Larry Herkey, on Minnesota Military Radio. And Commissioner, I'm sure you're pretty familiar with USAA.
I've been a member, I think, of USAA for 37 years, I believe. And a great organization, expanded over the years, as you said, and just have done a really great job. I was just going to ask you, how was the transition from the military over to this civilian job?
Corporate is very different than military. Biggest thing for me is if a meeting starts at 9 o'clock, you're there at 5 minutes to 9. Well, that doesn't work in the corporate world. Mm-hmm. It's more like 5 after 9 or 10 after 9. Yeah. So adjusting that mindset to the corporate was a little bit different. On the submarines, it was arrive early, loiter on station, remain undetected, execute the mission on time, depart undetected.
You know, Brad, there's a certain general I work with that's on the board of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And he says if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. So I subscribe to that theory, and it still works in business.
Early is on time is late.
Yes, sir. Now, we heard this morning, Commissioner, that USAA is the exclusive sponsor of Military Appreciation Day at the fair. They've been doing it for quite a few years.
It's my understanding 9 years. Is that correct, Brad?
Correct.
And over the years, have they been exclusive for the entire 9 years? Is that true?
From what I understand, we were asked to come in when the previous sponsor of the Military Appreciation Day was no longer the sponsor, and we have been the presenting sponsor continuously since then.
Well, that's great.
And the history, Commissioner, that we learned this morning over at the Liney Lodge for that ceremony is this thing just gets bigger and bigger every year, and it's saluted Vietnam veterans. It salutes women in the military. This year it's past, present, and future. And Brad, how does it feel for you as a director of USAA to sponsor a big event like this and a big 10 years of Military Appreciation Day at the Minnesota State Fair?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really simple, Tom. Military Appreciation Day honors and recognizes the men, women, and families that have served our great nation, and USAA's mission is to serve the men, women, and families who served our great nation. So to be here and help you and help the entire state of Minnesota recognize them and thank them for the service, it's just the right place to be and the right thing to do.
Well, Brad, we're grateful that the USAA has stepped up and it helps with Military Appreciation Day at the fair. One of the things I just want to touch back on, you indicated that quite a few of the employees of USAA are veterans. Do they focus on hiring veterans? I would think so.
We have a very strong veteran hiring program. We're currently at about 20% of our employees are either veterans or military spouses. We are always looking for opportunities to get more military talent into the organization. We specifically fund many organizations that support entrepreneurship, upskilling and reskilling, fellowship programs, training, and whatnot. Things like Patriot Labs, Bunker Labs, Patriot Boot Camp, hiring our heroes.
So, final question, it's kind of an important one. Are you hiring now, sir?
USAA is always hiring. USAA.com/careers, and in light of the way the world's changed over the last couple of years, many of our positions which were not formally eligible for remote work are now eligible for remote work. So even though you're not in San Antonio where our home office is, and previously 17,000 of our 36,000 employees work, you're eligible for many of the jobs that USA might have available.
So for all our listeners out there, if you want a great career with USAA, go to usaa.com/careers. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Brad, I want to thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate
you,
the
Brad.
Opportunity to be here.
Commissioner, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we've got to talk about a special event coming up at the state capitol on Saturday, 9/11. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Well, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We're recording today from the Minnesota State Fair on Military Appreciation Day, and my co-host has been Commissioner Larry Herkey from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Commissioner, it's been a crazy couple of weeks, a lot of stuff in the news. We're finishing up our mission in Afghanistan, and just recently we pulled all of our troops out and about 120,000 other folks. It was a crazy mission, but it's done. And I think we probably got some veterans that are feeling funny about their time in service over the last 20 years. What are your thoughts about Afghanistan?
We've had a lot of people come to us lately, both family members and veterans that are having a hard time currently. Their feelings are different. Did we go there? Did we accomplish the mission? Was it worth it? And those type of things. And what I'm telling people is that we went there for three major reasons. The one first was to make sure that Al-Qaeda was no longer a threat. Two was to keep the U.S. safe, which we've done that for the last 20 years. And the third was to eliminate the leadership. And we got rid of Osama bin Laden and many of his lieutenants. I think those are important goals that were set up initially during the time period when global war on terrorism started. And I think I would say mission accomplished for those veterans that are having maybe thoughts or concerns about their duty in Afghanistan.
So, Commissioner, as you know, I'm a Vietnam veteran, and for almost 50 years, I'm looking back on our involvement in Vietnam, and I'm saying, why were we there? Did we do anything good? And never gotten really any very good answers. But I'm hearing some current veterans saying, gosh, we spent 20 years in Afghanistan, and was it worth it? I mean, there's a lot of, as you say, blood, sweat, and tears, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden they're looking back, and maybe some of them are having a little trouble with it.
That's true. If someone is having problems, it's time that you reach out, and that could be a family member or a veteran. And I know the VA hospitals, both Minneapolis and St. Cloud, are available for help and assistance. But I also, through the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, we have 1-888, the Link Vet, which is available, and that's for both veteran counseling and also for family counseling, so that both sides can be covered. If you're having some issues with that and you need someone to talk to, I would call 1-888-LINK-VET, and we can help you out.
So if you're a veteran and you're feeling poorly about your involvement in Afghanistan, or a family of a veteran, and you see your veteran acting funny,
mm-hmm.
don't hesitate to call the VA Medical Center. Don't hesitate to call 1-888-LINK-VET. Help is available.
Help is there. We got it normal, I think, 7 in the morning till 7 at night, and on the weekends too. So just go ahead and call that, or you can go to minnesotaveteran.org, and you can get to the helpline that way also.
Very good, sir. Now, we've got an event coming up on Saturday, September 11th. Can't believe it's 20 years since the tragedy of 9/11 2001. But there's going to be a big event over at the state capitol.
We are going to have an event. It's part of the task force that I put together to remember and to commemorate the events that were related to the global war on terrorism and 9/11. And that event will mark the 20th year. It's going to be open to the public. It's going to be on the Capitol Mall. So you can come to the Capitol itself. The actual ceremony starts at 9 a.m., runs for about 80 minutes, and there'll be activities actually going on starting at 7:30 in the morning with the reading of the names and the chiming of the bells, which will relate to the actual events of 9/11 that day. So we're remembering all the Minnesotans who died in New York and other locations on that day. We'll also be looking to remember the 97 service members that have died during those last 20 years of service from Minnesota. And we also want to recognize and honor the 40,000 veterans that served during that time from Minnesota.
So, Commissioner, we're going to have to get up early that day because we have to report early.
I think I have to be there at, 5:15 or something like that, you and I?
Well, they got the colonel, retired colonel, is running this at 4 o'clock in the morning, is what he's telling us. So, you know, who's running the show now?
It's like Stan 2 in the Army,
Stan 2, 4 a.m., let's get there and get it done. So, but for anybody that wants to come over to the state capitol at about 7:30 in the morning, there'll be some bells rung and some names read and some things going on. And it goes on all day. There's going
to
be a...
We'll have two flyovers, F-16s, and also the vintage aircraft from World War II. We're going to have doves released. We're going to have the part of the premiere of the documentary Resolute, which is about Minnesota veterans and Minnesota's 9/11, that we're involved in 9/11. It's going to be a great opportunity to be able to see that also. Plus a traveling display down the armory that you can go and see different archives and different talk to people from the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum that can interpret a lot of things that went on during those 20 years.
And that's just down the hill at Cedar Street Armory. And
it is.
And they're having an exciting time, too, because they're building a new building for the Minnesota Military and Veterans Museum.
Yes, that's true. The legislature provided $13 million for the shell of the building and some of the outside amenities. And then right now we're doing local fundraising from private sources in order to do the exhibits and so forth inside of there. It's going to be a great place to come. We're moving the museum outside of the actual Camp Ripley, and it'll be right along Minnesota Highway 371 at the road junction of Highway 115.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting to see that. And they're bringing down some of their displays for the Cedar Street Armory. It's going to be an all-day event, Saturday, 9/11.
Starting at 7:30, ending at 2 p.m. And during that time, there's going to be family-friendly activities. There'll be live music when the ceremony's not on.
Food trucks.
There will be food trucks there. It's not an event without the food trucks in Minnesota. So
got to do something.
They will be there.
All right, Commissioner, and if they want to learn more information about that, you've got a special page on your
MinnesotaVeteran.org, and go to the events page. You can get all the information as it relates to this remembrance ceremony.
So everybody out there, come see us at the state capitol on Saturday, 9/11.
And Tom will be the MC, so you know it will be perfect and everything will go just right.
How did that happen,
day?
Commissioner?
Yes.
Well, how did that happen?
Yes.
Commissioner, we just got a few minutes left. We got another guest with us today, and it's from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. It's Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure to be here.
You found your way out to the state fair. Everything safe?
Oh, yeah, everything's safe.
All right. Now, do we have a lot of Patriot Guard riders out here today? Do you know?
I've seen a few of them.
Seen a few?
Oh, yeah.
Did you? And you rode your motorcycle today,
course.
Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Of course.
Be careful on that thing now.
Had a courage came along.
Yeah, it brings you every time. So how's the Patriot Guard doing?
Real good. Real good. We're doing missions. We're still being invited by families, and we're taking extra precautions for our members so that they're safe when they're on the flag lines. And we're still going good.
So for our listeners that are out there, if you have a veteran who has passed and you want to have the Minnesota Patriot Guard come out and stand the flag line, you have to contact the Minnesota Patriot Guard and ask them.
Yes, we don't just show up. That would be disrespectful if we just showed up. So we need to be invited. It's easy to do. Just go to our website, mnpatriotguard.org. On the left side, it says request the Patriot Guard. And just fill out the information and somebody will get in contact with you.
And then you send a notice out to all your riders.
Oh, yeah.
And you never know really how many are going to show up, but they show up, don't they?
They do.
Commissioner, you must have experienced the flag line that was stood by the Minnesota Patriot Guard riders.
We just had them, I think, all three groundbreaking ceremonies for our veterans' home. Great addition, and they stood up in Bemidji in the rain and stood there tall and proud, and it was just great to have them in all three ceremonies.
And, Tim, I know that each of your members that show up, you have a vest, you've got a flag, you bring the good heart, and you always wear those dark glasses because
we do.
Don't want anybody to see you drop a tear.
Yes. We don't wear sunglasses just because it's sunny. We don't want the families to know how bad we feel that they lost somebody.
And, Tim, I know a couple of your favorite missions to go on is, your most favorite, is when we've got troops coming home from deployments.
Oh, that's awesome. Just to see the families being reunited with their loved ones, it brings tears to your eyes.
And, Commissioner, I'm sure you've seen this too, but when you've got a unit that's leaving on a federal deployment at 4 o'clock in the morning, and they get there and they see about 50 or 60 of those riders there, you remember, people care.
Oh, yes. As mobilization officer, we had many different units that went out. I think about 10,000 people over just a few years, and And it was great to have the Patriot Guard there each time to represent patriotism and just that we care, I think, was the bottom line.
Yeah. Tim, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.
And it was Tim Leonhart from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Commissioner, we're just about out of time. It seems like hopefully we'll get to do this next year. Maybe there won't be another pandemic in the way.
Well, I hope not. I hope will be the end of it here this year and we can move on.
Well, thanks for joining us as co-host today, sir, and I look forward to seeing you bright and early on 9/11 at the State Capitol.
Everyone come down to the State Capitol and spend some time with us, starting at 7:30 in the morning if you want to, but by 9 a.m. for sure.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Amy Norstad from the Minneapolis VA Medical Center, Brad Sargent from USAA, Tim Leonhart from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, my co-host, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we reflect on 9/11 plus 20 years with a special show recently recorded at the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.